We've been in the control series. Last week we talked about control, and this week we're going to talk about control as well, part two. And today's sermon is, if your doubt controlling your faith. Is your doubt controlling your faith? Think about what a doubt is in your life. And is it controlling? Is it controlling your direction on what you want to do in life and how you want to relate to other people? I hear the bands back there cheering on Ashley. She's going through the green room. That's awesome. I love hearing that sound. We've come to a time in our country when things are difficult. And we have a lot of controls on us that we're dealing with. I know the counseling center is pretty busy over there, and we refer a lot of people over there. Dr. Bobby Allison's in this service, sitting right in front of me here, and he and I meet regularly and talk about the center and how busy they are, because there's just a lot of fear, a lot of doubt, and I'm here today to encourage you as we look at what's available to us by the way of internet and by the way of movies and all these things we have at our fingertips that bring about this negativity in our lives and can bring about these problems of control. So I'm just challenging you as we look at this message today to understand that you can control over many things that you may not think you have control over, but you do. And these are things you have to pray through and figure out. There's been a very difficult time in Heartland and around the nation with a lot of family issues, a lot of divorces, a lot of people struggling with relationships, and Heartland's not exempt from it either. The pastors and I talk, and we have been dealing with more issues right now than we've dealt with in many years or at any time in my ministry life. So there's just a lot out there going on right now with not only marriage relationships, but also with relationships with family and their kids, parents. So there's just a lot. So today we're going to kind of look at that, and I hope it's a challenge to you of knowing what to do to gain control over some of these things in your life. So who's controlling your faith? Think about that a minute. Who's controlling your faith? You? Friends? Environment? Work? Relationships? I mean, the list goes on. Who's controlling your faith? Or your faith? Speaking about being in control, or having things out of your control. Bobby and I took a flight to Philadelphia last week to support Pastor Mike's daughter who got married. And if you've never flown in and out of the Philadelphia airport, it's a treat. Talk about control. I thought the Gestapo was in there. I mean, it was, go right, left, right, go, no, this is closed, go here. I'm going, dude, what? Just slow down. If I go down that way, you have, and it's a true story, it's blocked. No, you go down here and go, oh, I'm not going to fight with you. I mean, I was really thinking I was going to get one of those cattle prods with the electrical thing, going to zap me in the back end. That's what I was waiting on next. Now, I agree with control. I'm okay with control. I'm okay with keeping people safe. I'm okay with wearing a mask, even though they were a little excessive. If you take a sip of drink, you can lower your mask, but after you take your sip, put the mask back up. I've not heard that before. If you're eating or drinking, you're okay not to wear a mask. So I thought that was the way it is in Philadelphia, no? If you take a bite, lower your mask, take your bite, and pull the mask up while you're chewing. True story. Again, I'm a rule follower, former police officer. I want to keep people safe. I want to abide by the rules. We've done it since day one of the pandemic here. But it was just so excessive at the airport. I just felt like when I was preparing for this sermon, this is a great illustration. It's about control. You don't have control over that. I mean, I could try and gain control over my environment there at Philadelphia Airport, but I'd end up with handcuffs. That wouldn't go very well, would it? That'd be front page news. That's not funny. No, I'm just kidding, it is. Okay, where am I? Take your copy of God's word and let's just jump right in. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 14 is where we're going to start. Remember, we're talking about control. The series is Control Freak. Still don't understand why they named it that. Pastor Gary and them are trying to tell me I'm a control freak. I'm not. But evidently they think I am. My wife says I am a little. But I try not to be, you know, to the point to where I'm overbearing or anything like that. Right, babe? There's no support down here. I'm walking over here. I get more support over here. Okay. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. Some of the Bible commentaries I read after said that this language and this environment and this was happening here is when they saw Jesus, they were giddy. They were to the point of excitement, enthusiasm, and want to run to him. Similar to a young girl at a pop concert. So you know what I thought about was many years ago when I took my daughter to the Debbie Gibson concert. She was so excited. I took her to dinner. She and another friend took her to dinner, her and her friend. They were all said, did you go to that concert with us? Didn't think so. Didn't want to pay for the extra ticket money because she really didn't care about Debbie Gibson. I get myself in trouble up here, I know. So when Debbie Gibson comes out on the stage, my daughter is crying. Tears streaming down, jumping up and down. And I thought to myself, that's just some pop star girl. I'm your daddy. You've never done that to me or for me. I wasn't in control at that point, was I? Who's in control? Debbie Gibson. Worse than that is New Kids on the Block. Oh, we had to have a parent-teacher conference when my daughter was in elementary school because all the kids in her class were inundated with New Kids on the Block. We had to have pillows, New Kids on the Block. We had to have blankets, New Kids on the Block. We had to have curtains, New Kids on the Block. It was unbelievable. She was so inundated with that. We had no control over her at that point. New Kids on the Block did. All that to say, when they saw Jesus, they were that excited. Are you that excited when you see Jesus? Now, we don't see him physically, but we do in our hearts and our faith. Does he excite you still? Does your salvation experience still excite you? Are you excited to come to church knowing that you could be with fellow believers in that? These are some questions to begin generating in your mind. Verse number 16, and he asked them, what are you arguing about with them? And someone from the crowd answered, teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast him out, and they were not able. Now, I thought the disciples could do everything. Didn't the disciples heal? Didn't the disciple carry out the Lord's missions and what the Lord wanted done? They did. So what happened here? That's what I don't understand. Well, and Jesus answered them, O faithless generation. That's kind of a little poke, isn't it? How long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring the boy to me. And they brought the boy to him, Jesus, and when the spirit saw Jesus, he immediately convulsed the boy and fell on the ground and rolled about foaming at the mouth. So this demon, this spirit, was going to show who's boss. It was going to show Jesus. Watch this, big guy. I'm going to take him out right now. So he thought, and Jesus asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. The Bible isn't specific on the time, but I'm assuming it's been several years that the father's been dealing with this over and over. Verse 22, and has often cast him into the fire, into the water to destroy him. Not only putting him in some kind of a issue with like a seizure, but then also tried to destroy him in the fire of water. If you could do anything, have compassion on us and help us. In 23, Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible. For the one who what? Yeah. Church, we cannot have doubt because it hinders our faith. Without faith, things aren't going to happen like you're hoping it's going to happen. Don't allow negativity to get in your way because it will hinder your future. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help mom believe. He knew something was going to change right then and there. The father never batted an eyelash. He jumped right on, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw it, the crowd came running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying that you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse. So most of them watching all said, he's dead. No. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he, Jesus, entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. But more importantly than prayer, it was the faith. It was the belief. It was the understanding. It all comes into that. So in this passage, the disciples are frustrated. They cannot help the boy. The father's frustrated because the disciples couldn't help the boy. Because the boy was controlled by this demon, the spirit. But notice what the crowd did. And this is a challenge to all of us. They saw Jesus. They were amazed by Jesus. They ran to Jesus. And they welcomed him. Are we doing that in our lives, in our homes today? Or are you entering, letting HBO come in? Or Cinemax or some of the negative. I'm not saying that's bad in a sense, but what you're watching can be. You've seen that commercial on television when the family's there and these shady characters come walking in the house. Yeah, meet Bugsy. Bugsy's down the street dealing drugs, and they're all in the home, the living room, point making that what you allow in your home electronically or by phone or by the internet is just as bad, just about. Some say you place too much stock in Jesus Christ or this whole religious experience. I talked to somebody the other day and invited them to come to Heartland. They said they don't believe in organized religion. They just do good things for other people, and that's going to get them to heaven. And I said, so there's nothing that you're missing, like fellowship, encouragement, participating with other fellow believers who can lift you up and help you in the darkest times and when you need support? Says, maybe I'm missing some of that. They're doubting what their faith is, and they're just relying on just trying to do good works. The Bible's pretty clear on that. That it's more than works. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. So the first thing we're going to look at today is recognize your lack of faith. Recognize your lack of faith. Someone from the crowd answered, told Jesus what happened, tells him what happened to the boy. And then verse number 19, it says, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? Pretty harsh words, isn't it? I would never want to hear that from someone, let alone Jesus Christ, to tell you that, how am I going to be with you? Are you a dork? What's the deal? Bring him to me. The father was desperate and recognized what we needed to do. And what did he do? Help my unbelief, I believe. I'm going to talk to parents and kids in here who have a poor relationship right now. Maybe a husband and wife are contemplating divorce or separated. Maybe your kids are grown out of the house and you don't have a relationship with them because of issues or problems, whatever the case may be. This daddy never gave up. Sometimes we grow weary of our kids making poor decisions. Or kids, maybe we grow weary of our parents making decisions. Or siblings, family members, close friends, whatever the case may be. Sometimes it's easier just to give up, isn't it, and walk the other way. But when the father was asked, how long has this been happening? A long time for this family. But the father did not give up. But he was lacking genuine faith. and genuine belief, just like the disciples were. And it didn't happen. But once the recognition was made, things changed and Jesus took action. So sometimes you have more control over things than you think you do. You just have to identify what those are and figure it out. And ask for God to provide that for you. Father never gave up. Lacking faith and genuine belief in prayer, could you be the problem? That's staggering sometimes in a culture that we're in right now with a lot of issues we're dealing with. Pride sometimes gets in the way and blocks what we need to do. So I'm just asking you, are you the problem? Pastor Ed and I know of a guy that was in seminary in North Carolina, at Southeastern Seminary. He was a pastor of a church and attending seminary and finishing up his master's degree. He and his daughter were estranged. She was a college student at another university and making poor decisions. So they're upset with one another. Just didn't work. I mean, this is the preacher's kid. They should be acting better. You know, preacher was kind of embarrassed because, you know, your kid's not doing what they should be doing. You know, pastor of a church and he's doing everything he can. He's a seminary student. They ran across her Bible and some of her belongings. Now, I don't know how it is with you parents, but for the last 30 years, I've carted around my daughter's stuff. From one move to the next, the biggest albatross around my neck is Barbie dolls. True story. My sister-in-law worked at Walmart, and my daughter got a Christmas Barbie every year. And it's just not a little Barbie in a little case. It's the Christmas Barbie. They come in a box that's oblong, and it's fancy and big. We've got like 14 big boxes of all these Barbie dolls, and we cart them around. At some point, I've got to say, this is enough. But my wife keeps on saying, one more move. Well, we made the move to Florida, and here we are 8 years later. They're still in my garage. I don't know what we're going to do with them. I threaten them, we'll sell them online. Can I make any money on that? Anybody have a Christmas Barbie doll in here? Okay, I see one, two, three. Okay, I see a few people. Please get with me after the service and tell me if they're worth any money. You didn't hear that, babe. Because look, if my daughter comes back looking for him, I don't know. Listen, he had the Bible. We had chapel 3 times a week at seminary. And 3 times a week, each chapel service, this pastor, student, took the Bible that belonged to his daughter and used it in chapel each day. Read from the pages, would hold it to his heart, asking God to make a change, to end the bad relationship, to make better decisions, decisions that honored Christ and not the world. Went on almost 2 years. After all that time, this guy gets a call that his daughter moved from out of state into North Carolina, signed up for classes at Southeastern Seminary, and actually finished her degree alongside of her dad. Yep. Has her master's degree now, a school teacher today. And their relationship is wonderful. That's my daughter. Bobby and I never gave up hope. We knew God was going to do something in her life. We just didn't know when. And I just felt heavy in my heart. I need to be involved with her and God's decision on what to do. I stroked her Bible in chapel service 3 days a week. God bring her back, and he did. Grand style. Moved back in with us, which, by the way, if you haven't had an adult kid move back in with you, it's different. But I put up with it, but it was different. But for her to enroll and be and surprise us, we knew that he had her all the way, and she's doing wonderful today. I share that with you just to be a challenge to moms and dads, or sisters and brothers, whoever it is, don't give up. Don't doubt. Don't let doubt take away your faith. Don't let it happen. Be genuine with your faith. it is possible that you have more control over than what you think. And I'm challenging you on that. Don't doubt. Problems with marriages, God can change it. Problems with relationships, family, God can change it. Difficult job or looking for a job, God can change it. Ministry call in your life, you feel called to ministry, God can change it. I'm single, God can change it. I can't find the right heart group, God can change it. You just have to have hope and not doubt. How different would your life be right now if you applied faith into everything you did, every decision you made? If you expected great things this week from God, instead of showing up on a Sunday and say, what are you going to do for me today, God? But you expected and you prayed for and you yearned, give me a miracle this week, Father, and diligently pray and read your Bible. What can he do for you? Wow. Second of all, pray even when you feel defeated. That's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to do when you're upset about something, you're defeated, but you still have to pray. But that's what we need to do. That's how we overcome the barriers of faith. That when we overcome the doubt. Because what he's telling them here in verse number 23, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. Immediately, you know what the Father did. I believe. Help my unbelief. You know, there's more to the power than standing straight and tall. It's when you're on your knees. When's the last time over a situation you're on your knees? And you may be sitting here today saying, everything's great. I've got a great marriage, great kids, great everything. Everything's great. Most likely, you have family members or people around you that could use your prayers then. You're not off the hook. That's what being a Christian is all about, is helping others. There may be somebody sitting to your left or right who are struggling with something right now. You may or may not know about it. I like this verse in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Goes on to say, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Basically, that says pretty much everything in life. I will put up with the people who are negative. If they're saying, your daughter's gone, quit worrying about it. No. If I'm told that, I don't hang out with these people anymore. We don't need, there's too much negativity around us. Rid the negativity, man. I mean, pray for them, love you, put your arm around them, say, yo, man, we're tight, love you, but I can no longer allow you to influence me negative like this, because that's what Satan does. That's how the Holy Spirit is tainted, and that's how you aren't at your best as a Christian. Circumstances that can ruin your relationship with Jesus Christ could be an addiction to pornography, out of control anger or quick temper, addiction to gambling and losing everything, poor relationships with your spouse or kids, and the list goes on. You can gain better control over these things in your life if you will not doubt, and do not let doubt influence your belief. You know what? How many people do we know of kids who are involved in foster care? Now, I'm not saying foster care is bad. I praise foster care. But the kids are adults now and are still having issues. Still can't find a job. Still can't heal. Still can't figure things out because they're in foster care. But you have some who overcome it. Some who are in foster care or bounce from family member to family member, but yet go to college, but yet are in ministry today, yet doing everything the right way. Why? Because they broke the cycle by not having doubt, and they counted on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then everything goes well. Not saying perfect, but things go well, but they broke the cycle. They're no longer a product of the environment, if you will. So you can gain better control of these, breaking the cycle. Proverbs 25:28 says this, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. So you can gain self-control. You can gain control over the things that you need to have control over. Break out that shield of faith and protect yourself with it. Protect your family members through the natural power of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. You can overcome habits and addictions. We can see a character change, and the outlook of all situations will change in a heartbeat. Lastly, power only belongs to the faithful. As the passage says here in verse number 28, and when he, Jesus, had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, remember? And what did they say? Why, you cannot cast it out? He said to them, it's only by prayer. It's only by that belief. It's only by that dedication. Unclean spirit, demons, I believe they're real. I believe they've been around since the fall, since the Garden of Eden. And I believe they impact our lives. I believe some people can't shake them. I believe that. I believe they're beings that you can't see, but they get in and they influence you and they're negatively. They want to take away your joy. These demons want to influence you on how you make decisions. And I believe it's hard to shake these guys without the power of the Holy Spirit. This sermon's not about demons today, but I just want to let you know that they do inflict pain, misery, and not comfortable. And they ultimately want to kill you. So how do you deal with them? Make sure that you know you're saved. Make sure you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's a crossroad in your life when you made that decision. First of all. Second of all, make sure you're tapping into what God has for you, because you can't do this alone. If you're in addictions or you're having issues, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to help you. You need people in this church. You need the counseling center, whatever, to help you just with everyday life. But don't have that lack of belief based on things that you can't control. Just like the disciples. Did they check their list? They're used to making healing opportunities, but they didn't. So they just went through the motions. It didn't work, did it? We can do the same thing. We have to do the checkbox. It's not just a matter of just coming to church, check. Wrote some money for a tithe and an offering to the church, check. Well, we attend a small group, check. There's more to that. It's what are you doing with your personal life, with your relationship, along with all these things. Know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's where it all starts. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, through him, through Christ who strengthens me. Colossians 1:10-11, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, so as to being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. The boy's father now has joy, doesn't he? Why? Because his son's getting healed. Something's changed as a result of the father's actions. How about you? Are you the problem in some situations in your life? Before you can make the change and revival starts in our hearts and our lives and our church and our community, you have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. You may be at that crossroad right now, looking for that. Things are damaged when we don't have full control over situations in our life that you have control over, and that is home life, personal life, professional life, and how you treat others around you. So I'm asking you this question. Look in the mirror. Do you line up with biblical teaching? In other words, you're attending Heartland, you're getting solid preaching, you're reading your Bible and getting some input from the scriptures into your heart and your mind, and you're praying? Do you align yourself with strong faith in Christ-like people who come alongside of you and helping you, or you hang out with friends or family members that are negative and they pull you down? That's not good. Do you align yourself with strong prayer life and extraordinary faith in Jesus Christ? That's what makes the difference. That's what changes things. That's what happened to the Father. He never gave up. I'm asking you not to give up. I'm asking you that if you're being challenged with something, I challenge you to make a difference in it. Don't have doubt. Have faith. People will disappoint you. Kids will disappoint you. I get it. Parents will disappoint you, whatever the case may be. But the Almighty Jesus Christ will not. He will not, and he's here for you. Let me share a letter in closing. A pastor of a church in North Carolina, right before I went to Southeastern Seminary to go on staff. And this girl wrote me this letter, and it just has always touched me. Dear Pastor Danny, her name's Ashley too, by the way, not Ashley McNeese, but another Ashley. I just want to send you a letter to thank you for all the times that you visited me and the many prayers that you prayed for me. I think there have been many times that the Lord was calling me and that I thought I was ready to give my life to Christ, but unfortunately some type of temptation always seemed to step in the way. And me, obviously not being the strong Christian, I let the devil back into my life. However, and this is where it turns, I am very happy to say that for the first time in a very long time, I am happy. I moved back home with my mom and dad. They may not be happy, but... And I'm working now. I've been going to church every Sunday and Wednesday night and even Sunday school, and I'm loving it. Some of your sermons I sat through on Sunday mornings brought tears to my eyes, even when the devil was on my shoulder, and I wasn't strong enough to say no to the temptations. When you would stop and pray, it always gave me hope. I felt that you believed in me and that God did too, and if I would just give him a chance. Well, I just wanted to let you know that you touched my life in a way no one else has. I greatly appreciate you caring. It really meant a lot. I will always admire you as a strong man of God and hope that one day I will learn to love the Lord the way you do. I ask you to continue keeping me in your prayers because I'm not all the way there yet. But I am working on living for one and only purpose, and that's for God. Thank you for everything. God's love, Ashley. Wow. You don't think I wasn't doing backward flips when I got this letter? Okay, I wasn't a backward flip. How about I jumped up and down a little bit? But listen, this is why we're here. This is why I'm in ministry. It's to see change. I look out here and I walk, many of you guys walked with you during pain and suffering and things you've gone through, whether it was illnesses or whether it was marriages or kids' issues, you know? That's what it's about. Our staff, our pastors, we love you. And we want God's best for you. We want that for you. And we will do our best to help you. Ashley took back control, didn't she? She took back control over the doubt in her life. She made steps to build her faith. She started to go to church and get involved. She's not letting doubt control her anymore. In her letter, the enemy was no further in control. What do you need today? Just like the father of the afflicted child, you need to articulate a prayer of faith for you personally. In the midst of your doubt and current situations, suffering and the unbelief, cry out to Jesus Christ that you can make a difference in other people's lives. But you have to sometimes make sure you're not the problem. Alicia will be leading our invitation song entitled Make Room. So we're asking you to make room in your heart today as she leads us in this invitation song. What's an invitation song? It's when you get the chance to respond. You get the chance to make a difference. The song goes like this. And I will make room for you. Speaking of Jesus, do whatever you want to. Are you ready to tell Jesus that? Do what you want to. To do whatever you want to, I'll make room for you to do whatever you want to. Are you ready for healing, forgiveness, repentance? Do you know if you're going to heaven? For sure, for sure, for sure. This is your opportunity if you're not sure. Here's what I'm asking you to do. One of four things while Alicia's singing this song for us this afternoon. Number one, altar's always open. Come down here and sing. Second, you already see requests on the cross. There's pen and paper over on the desks. Let us know if you made a decision or if you have a prayer request. Every Monday, we pray for these requests. Third, seat backs in front of you. There's a QR code or a physical card to fill out. Put it in the boxes around the doors. Let us know how we can pray for you. Let us know what decision you made. Let us know how we can reach out to you. Last, is there'll be people with lanyards at the back door of prayer time, and they'll pray with you. They look at it as prayer time and are excited to pray for you. And maybe you just need some steps how we can help you. That's what we're here for. The band's here to help you. We're here to help you. We want God's best for you. So I'm going to pray. Amen. Do one of the four things. Try not to just to sit there. Do a reaction to something. Let's do what we can to honor or glorify our Lord Jesus Christ and those around us. Would you? Father, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to have an invitation. The word's been preached. The message is done. Your turn, Father, to touch hearts and their turn to respond. For it's in a wonderful, matchless name of Jesus, I pray. Will you stand and worship with us?